The title of our message this morning is, Who Likes Leftovers? Based on the Old Testament reading that Nadine read for us this morning from Amos chapter 5, especially this verse, God says, hate evil, love good, establish justice at the gate, and perhaps the Lord of hosts may be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. I encourage you to find your worship folder and turn to the back and find there the sermon outline. On that sermon outline in your worship folder, we will consider our theme, Who Likes Leftovers? In fact, on this Sunday after Thanksgiving, here's my question for you. Who likes leftovers? Well, first there are turkey sandwiches. Then comes turkey soup. Then comes turkey casseroles. Leftovers. Do you like them? I know of a husband of one of Beverly's friends from Alberta who detests leftovers. He will not even eat leftovers. In fact, it's quite sad in that household to see how much food is thrown away because he hates leftovers. Who likes leftovers? Some people don't. But the truth of today's sermon is God loves leftovers. Now, permit me to explain. I'm not talking about extra turkey or food left over from last night's dinner table. I'm talking about people. People who are considered to be leftovers. People considered not to be worth much in the eyes of others. In today's Old Testament reading from Amos chapter 5, Amos calls these kinds of people the remnant of Joseph. That is, the leftovers of Joseph. The Hebrew word for remnant is she'arith. How about learning some Hebrew this morning? Say it with me. She'arith. That means leftover, remnant. It's a term that refers to what is left over after an enemy of the invasion has come into your land. Now, the people of Israel have been invaded and conquered time after time. And a she'arith, a leftover, a remnant, it's what's left behind by the conquerors because they believe it really isn't too valuable enough for them to take with them back to their land. But they would take valuables like gold and silver, prized possessions, animals, even the brightest and the best of the people. And the rest of the stuff, the rest of the people, was left behind. They were considered to be she'arith, leftovers. Amos calls them the remnant of Joseph. Now, if you recall from Genesis, Jacob, who's also called Israel, had 12 sons. But 10 of the 12 sons, in a fit of jealousy and rage, threw their brother Joseph in a well, told old father Israel he was dead, never to be seen again. Now, since that time, all through Holy Scripture, especially the later prophets like Amos, Joseph symbolizes oppressed people. People cast aside. People judged to be worthless by others. Here in chapter 5, Amos is really giving it to the religious and political leaders of Israel who are treating some of their own countrymen like dirt. They're treating some of the poor in their midst, some of their own neighbors. They're treating them like she'arith, leftovers. Amos is quite upset. More importantly, God is angry. And as God's spokesman, Amos says in no uncertain words, God's judgment is coming upon you who call yourself God's people and treat the least of these your brethren like dirt, like leftovers. Amos 5, verse 6 says, Seek the Lord that you may live, or he will break forth like a fire that none will ever be able to quench. Well, why was Amos so upset? What was being done to the poor of the land? Amos 5 verse 11 says this way, you impose heavy rent on the poor. You exact a tribute of grain from them, even though you yourselves have built stones, homes of hewn stone. Evidently, the political and religious leaders of Israel were living in luxury, in fancy and expensive homes built with pricey stonework. And they paid for this by leveling heavy rent upon their own countrymen, heavy rent upon the poor. Not only this, but verse 12 says this, you distress the righteous, you accept bribes, you turn aside the poor at the gates. These leaders also had the very lucrative job of hearing court cases and disputes among the people. These court cases were heard where people gathered at the gates of the city. Now, these rich and political leaders were dishonest and greedy. They were taking bribes from the rich to make the court case go their way. They were sticking it to the poor and kicking them when they were down. And these were their own countrymen. These were their own neighbors. But hey, they're just the worthless Sheareth, and you know, who likes leftovers? Soon we will hear Amos proclaim God's word in no uncertain terms. God likes leftovers. In fact, God loves leftovers. What about us today? We were talking about this very thing in adult Bible class, which, by the way, meets every Sunday at 9:30. How about that? In Bible class this morning, we were talking about this very thing. Who are the leftover people in our lives? How about that person you see almost every time you ride the SkyTrain from Vancouver or to Richmond and back and forth? You know who I'm talking about. That person sitting on the ground asking for small change for a cup of coffee or a sandwich. And if you choose not to give them money, how hard would it be to leave them with a cup of hot coffee or maybe a sandwich and a sincere God bless you? Or how about that person at school that no one likes, who's left out of the in crowd? Could you make an effort to be their friend, to let them know they're not a worthless leftover? And how about that neighbor of yours? That person at work? Your family member? You know who I'm talking about. That person who's having a hard time, has made some mistakes in life, and feels alienated and not worth anything in the eyes of others. You guessed it. They feel like a leftover. Jesus himself has some very clear words to say about this topic in Matthew 25. He tells us there that how we treat the least of these people is how we're treating him. When we love the least of these people, we're loving him. And when we don't love the least of these people, we're not loving him. Listen to his own words. Matthew 25. Jesus said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you visited me. But I was hungry, naked, a stranger, sick, in prison, and you did not feed or clothe or care for or visit me. Truly I say to you," says Jesus, "whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me." Now, on this LWML Sunday, when we highlight the giving and serving women of our church body, we thank God for them. And we thank God that so much of what they do is for those around the world and in our own communities who are considered by others to be the leftovers. But indeed, be reminded, dear women of LWML, really the main reason your organization exists is, in the name of Jesus, to serve the leftovers. But my friends, the truth is, so often in all of our lives, we pretend that people in need don't even exist. We just don't want to be bothered with leftovers. Shame on us. We need to hear Amos' words about God's anger when he says, it's like a consuming fire that no one can put out. Just last week, a young man came into my office. He literally walked off the street. He came at the end of a very busy day for me. I'd been in the office 8 or 10 hours. I was eager to go home. I didn't want to see anybody else. And when he came to the door, my first thought was this: oh no, not when I'm ready to go home. Can't somebody else deal with him? I hope he's here not just to ask for some money. But he was a very sincere young man. He was humble and almost apologetic as he told me what he wanted. And this is what he wanted. This is what he said: I must get baptized. Jesus wants me to get baptized. Then he proceeded to tell me his story, and it was actually quite amazing. He explained that he just can't quit reading the Bible. And on every page of that Bible that he reads, he meets his precious Savior, Jesus. And he came to this inescapable conclusion: please, I must get baptized. Jesus wants me to get baptized. Now, we're in the process of making this happen. And wouldn't you agree this is a wonderful thing? And yet, when I recall my first unloving and selfish thought when he came to me, I'm ashamed. I was ready to treat him like a leftover, someone who was more of a bother in my busy and important schedule than someone for whom Christ died. I share this story with you for this purpose. Can you see yourself in the mirror of my own selfish reaction? May God forgive each of us for treating precious people for whom Christ died like leftovers. So this morning, in front of the congregation, Koras, I'm going to ask your forgiveness. And I'm going to say I'm so glad that you are here today. And Nuri, too. Nuri and Koras have come to this week from Iran, from Zimbabwe, former Muslims, whom our Lord Christ has touched through the power of his word and asked for baptism. We will do that this week. We are glad that you're here. You're not leftovers. Please. You know, the amazing truth that's declared to each of us on every page of Holy Scripture is this: God loves leftovers. There's just too many examples to give them all to you, but here are a couple. From Genesis chapter 16, Hagar, the Egyptian maid, the mother of Abram's son Ishmael, she was rejected, treated like a leftover by Sarah, Abraham's wife, the mother of Isaac, but she was loved and protected by God. From 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2, Hannah was a barren wife, could not have children, treated harshly and ridiculed by others in her own household. But she was loved by God and finally blessed with a precious and important son named Samuel. In Luke chapter 19, we meet Zacchaeus. He was a despised and hated tax collector, working for the Roman enemy, for the enemy Roman government, stealing from his Jewish citizens. No one would have anything to do with him. Yet he was loved by Jesus. And Jesus went to his house and had a meal at his house and changed his life forever. My friends, let me ask you this. Who else do you know? Who else do you know who was a leftover, rejected by others? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 tells us, quote, Jesus was rejected by men. In the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell us Jesus was mocked by the crowds, betrayed by Judas, denied by Peter, forsaken by the other disciples, sentenced to death by a weak-willed Roman governor, crowned by thorns by those who spat upon him, nailed to the cross by soldiers who laughed at him. And our Lord Jesus died upon that cross. Why did he do it? He died there bearing the sins of the world, bearing and paying for your sins and for mine, forsaken by everyone he loved. If anyone was to be considered a she'arith, leftover, worth nothing, it was Jesus, an unwanted, unloved leftover on that first Good Friday. But you know, don't you? You know. It may have been Friday, but Sunday was coming. And on Easter Sunday morning, our risen and victorious Lord, victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over the devil, was no longer a leftover. He was the main course. And this risen and victorious Jesus gently reminds each of us here today that we are all sinners. We have not lived as God wants us to live. And you and I, according to the standards of this world and God's holy standards, really, we're not as wonderful as we'd like to think we are. We should be those considered leftovers. We are to be humbly thankful and never prideful that God loves us and has made us his own children. Listen to what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 and following. Paul writes, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many of you wise or mighty or noble, but God has chosen the weak things of the world, and by his doing you are in Christ Jesus. So let him who boasts," says Paul, "boast in the Lord." Over the last couple of weeks, Beverly has been gone for 10 days to a conference in Edmonton and seeing her mom and dad. It's good that she can get away. And bless her heart, before she leaves on such trips, she does a lot of grocery shopping and stocks the freezer and the fridge with food for me to easily eat, easily prepare. And that's good because I'm actually quite lazy when it comes to food preparation. So what I do is prepare a huge amount of one kind of food, and I eat it for many days until it runs out. I even pack some of that food into my lunch as I take here to the church office. And you know, I really don't mind at all because I really do like leftovers. But the central and precious truth of today's sermon is this. God loves leftovers. He loves those people not considered to be much by others. God loves sinners. Thank God. He loves you, and he loves me. In the name of Jesus, amen.